The death of a fish seller in Morocco has touched off the biggest protest in that country in years. Sounds like it could be the kind of combustible mix that might catch on around a region. In 2011, a similar event touched off the so-called Arab Spring. But NPR's Jane Araf says there's a different climate right now. It's one that is more fearful. And she joins us on the line from Cairo. Jane, good morning.
Good morning, David.
So start by just telling me what happened in Morocco.
Well, on the weekend, police in the northern town of Al Hoceima confiscated fish that was being sold by a 31-year-old man, Mohsen Fikri. He was reported to be selling swordfish, which is protected from fishing this time of year. So, according to local media reports, when police threw all of his fish into a garbage truck, he actually jumped in after it, and he basically was crushed to death in the compactor. Now, the reason people know about this is that there are photographs, and Mohsen Fikri has become a metaphor for the little guy who is literally crushed by the system.
Well, just remind me, I mean, wasn't that kind of individual sacrifice what sparked the Arab Spring, many believe, in Tunisia?
Absolutely. Those protests that started the Arab Spring 5 years ago had a similar spark. They were led by young people, and they were fueled by that volatile mix of repression and poverty and perceived humiliation. So, as you recall, in Tunisia in December 2010, a fruit seller set himself on fire after police confiscated his cart. And those protests spread from Tunisia, where it actually led to the downfall of the government, and then went on across the region, including in Egypt, where that government also was toppled.
Mm-hmm.
So many of these were authoritarian regimes that hadn't changed in decades. And all of a sudden, there was proof that people holding peaceful protests could actually make a difference. But you fast forward a few years, and the problem is that as those regimes toppled, other forces stepped in to fill the vacuum, or it led to lawlessness. And in some cases, people prefer the old dictators to the new chaos and uncertainty. In others, even with new leaders, there's still a lot of the same old repression, like in Egypt.
Well, so Jane, you mentioned Egypt. I mean, went through what's known as the Arab Spring. It's sort of gone back to the way it was before. Does that tell us anything about Morocco in this moment?
You know, David, Egypt is the biggest country in the Middle East in terms of population. So what happens here matters. And when you have a revolution and then you have the kind of system in place here where there's repression and people are afraid to protest or they don't see the point of protesting, that actually has repercussions as well. So on a different scale, it's some of the same dynamic going on in Morocco. And a lot of that actually goes around to what's happening in Iraq and Syria, because people look at those countries and they see those countries being ripped apart. And a lot of them are thinking, okay, things aren't so great here, but it could get a whole lot worse.
All right, that was NPR's Jane Araf in Cairo. Jane, thanks a lot.
Thank you, David.
And today is the first day Americans can buy insurance through the Affordable Care Act for 2017. Many people who get their insurance through the federal health law are worried after news that premiums would rise an average of 22% next year. As NPR's Allison Kojak reports, that average masks a more complex reality, one where prices are going up for some, but falling for others.
Health and Human Services Secretary Sylvia Burwell has her work cut out for her. After a week dominated by news of big price increases for Obamacare insurance plans, it's Burwell's job to convince millions of people that they should go online and shop for a good deal. Her biggest challenge?
Helping people focus on what the consumer pays, because that's the most important thing, and that's what consumers actually care about.
But it's not always easy to figure out what the consumer pays. That's because the people who buy policies through the Affordable Care Act can qualify for discounts on premiums and out-of-pocket expenses based on their income.
85% of those folks actually receive tax credits or subsidies, and for them, that insulates them from these changes.
That's what's happening to Darvin Bentledge, a farmer in southwest Missouri. Like many farmers, he's been having a rough time recently. He raises corn, soybeans, and beef, and prices for all his products have plummeted in the last 2 years. When I talked to him late last week, he was pretty upset because he got a letter from his insurer saying his policy was going up $200 a month. Even after his subsidy, he thought he'd be paying $500 a month just for his premium. On top of that, he spends about $300 a month on medications for diabetes.
So I'm going to be paying close to $10,000 for my medicine and my insurance on a $20,000 income.
But Bentledge hadn't yet logged on to healthcare.gov to shop for a plan. But he did that over the weekend and called me back. He was much happier.
it comes up that I get a $664 tax credit.
Wow, so that's about double what you were getting before.
Yes, that's about double.
He says he found a plan that will only cost him about $150 a month, and it has a lower deductible.
So that was a pleasant surprise, you know.
Bentledge says he's glad he doesn't have to go without insurance like he did before the Affordable Care Act. At that time, he couldn't find coverage because of his diabetes.
No, when I went through those colon surgeries and had to go through and refinance a farm.
If Bentledge is the story Sylvia Burwell wants to hear, Will Denneke is her nightmare. Denneke is 63, and he's a self-employed urban planning consultant in Portland, Oregon. He makes too much money to qualify for financial assistance. He's also pretty healthy and doesn't use much medical care. But his premiums have almost tripled in the last 3 years. To him, it's just too much.
I am not willing to pay $930 a month for coverage and to pay a $3,000 deductible.
Unless he can find a better deal.
I'm going to hope that if I have a health issue, I can go back during the middle of the year, not during open enrollment, and go onto the marketplace and buy insurance.
Now, people are only supposed to be able to buy insurance through the ACA mid-year if they've had a big change. Maybe they got married or they lost their job. But Denneke says those rules are easy to get around. He knows from experience.
I've done it before, and my broker helped me. And the great thing was we got an answer like in 2 minutes.
Denneke's actually a supporter of Obamacare in theory, and he's aware that what he's thinking of doing could undermine the whole system. That's because insurance only works if sick people and healthy people both buy in. But if lots of people abandon the program, the people who run Obamacare will be spending next fall trying to explain even more price increases. Allison Kojak, NPR News.